You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Broncos podcast. I am your co-host. I am your host for this particular episode. I am Cameron Parker. Pleased to be alongside with all of you, and we got an exciting episode today because we're going to be talking about the underdog. We're going to be talking about the importance of the underdog and why it is such a key thing. And why, in essence, are we talking about this? Well, Chris Harris was in the news on NFL Network, and he talked about they like being the underdog. They like being slept on. So welcome into another edition of the Locked On Broncos podcast. If you guys feel free to follow the Locked On Broncos podcast on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos, you guys can follow myself, at Cameron Parker PO. You can follow Cody Rourke, who is not here today, but he will be back for tomorrow's episode. You can follow him at Cody Rourke NFL, and you can go to his site, CodyRourkeNFL.com, for more exclusive in-depth coverage. But again, welcome into the Locked On Broncos podcast. It is your daily bite-sized Broncos podcast. We talked about it briefly just then, that Chris Harris went on NFL Network, and he said that he likes to be slept on. He likes to be the underdog. He likes for people to continue to doubt, so to speak, what a team can do. And we're going to talk a little bit about what makes that so successful. And we're going to come up with, Predominantly Orange did their three ways as far as how the Broncos can be successful underdogs heading into 2019. And we're going to piggyback off of that, but we're also going to piggyback off of, we're going to piggyback and start choosing our own ways that they can be successful. And it's not necessarily going and picking three things. What it's going to be is going a little bit more in detail, and what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the offensive side of the ball. What are the key things, and what are the key things that absolutely have to go right for the team to continue to be successful, and how they can shut everybody up and be the type of team on the offensive side of the ball that they need to be. So we're going to talk about that over in segment two. And then in segment number three, we're going to talk about the defensive side of the ball, the important part, the winning aspect. And you look back at Super Bowl 50, the defense was the biggest key to why they won Super Bowl 50. The Peyton Manning effect was certainly much to do about that. It says something when you have a quarterback of that caliber and a quarterback of that nature on your roster that has been to a Super Bowl before. It's not his first rodeo. He understands what's at stake. All of that helps. So we're going to talk about that in both segments number two and three. But before we break off here in segment number one, I want to talk a little bit about why just the sheer underdog mentality can be so successful. You see, in life, we deal with this all the time, and it tends to seep through, and it tends to leak into sports in a lot of ways. And the reason why I think a lot of people really love the idea of an underdog story is the power of doubt. And when you come into anything in life, and when you're featuring a lot of the stuff that you think you can be successful with, it's going to be different from person to person to person, and they will feel like you are not going to be capable of winning, or you're not going to be successful at such and such a task, or if you have, say, an actual team at work, there will be somebody or some group of people that will continue to doubt or put doubt in your mind that you're not going to be successful as far as a business or a group or anything like that. There will be doubters. There will be doubters. But what makes it continue and what makes it so successful for doubters is, for one, believing that you can continue to do it, and two, that you don't care at all what those people will say about you. And we see so often in sports that term bulletin board material. And that really does apply. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will result in wins per se, but what it does is it puts a drive that players are already starting to look forward to games, or they're looking forward to playing such and such a player. They're looking forward to playing such and such a game against such and such an opponent. That's what makes, say, an underdog and all of this doubting so successful, and why it can be so successful, because the minute that one person, or the minute that an entire, say, national media or just media in general is puts you on the back burner, then you start to believing, especially in a unit like the Denver Broncos that have been doubted before. Going back to the Super Bowl 50 years, there were a lot of games. There were a lot of games where they were picked to lose that game, or they would go into that game as far as the over and under, and sorry, the Vegas odds, where they were picked to lose. And more often than not, when those occasions happened, they came out on top. They were victors. When you prove people that you can be winners on a regular basis, you won't have that weight hanging over your head. But at the same time, if that's what gets you going, if that's what makes you such a successful unit, such a successful team, by all means, continue to feel doubted, or should we say, continue to feel like you've been slept on. Continue to feel like, you know, you do feel doubted. And I think that in essence is why we also like the underdog story, because once you start flying under the radar, once teams or once a particular player flies under the radar, case in point, Philip Lindsay, you know, once Philip Lindsay is just continuing to fly under the radar, you know, we don't know what, say, a future will hold for a guy like a Philip Lindsay, say, at that said particular moment when he comes into the National Football League. But yet it's up to him to, as I said in one of the tweets earlier this week, it's up to them, it's up to the team, it's up to Philip Lindsay to make the impossible become possible. That's the best part about making it and making an underdog story so successful. It is about making the impossible possible. So coming up next, we're going to talk about the offensive side of the ball. Now, again, in the Predominantly Orange piece, they talked about certain ways and three ways that they have to be a successful underdog story. But we're going to continue that, and we're going to talk about what will they have to do as far as on the offensive side of the ball to be a successful football team. Now, this is sort of piggybacking a little bit off of our pretenders or contenders episode, but what in essence is this going to entail for the Broncos to be a successful underdog story? What will that entail? We're going to talk about that next right here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. The Denver Broncos offense was, as we say oftentimes with the Super Bowl 50 team, the Denver Broncos offense was just good enough to win a Super Bowl. And they ended up becoming, according to the media, an outlier, a team that, despite all the odds, that they were maybe a middle-of-the-road offense or just a team that would skate by or coast by the help of a good quarterback or timely runs or, you know, timely drives that would result in touchdowns. That's sort of can be an effect as far as an outlier. But as far as being a successful underdog, it usually also means you are a successful football team. So what can the offense do to be so successful going forward? And we did talk about it. It's sort of piggybacking off of our pretenders and contenders episode, but the offensive line has to gel. We see so often sometimes where there are a plethora of free agents that happen. Now, this does not mean offensive on or just strictly on the offensive side of the ball. This means on the offensive or defensive side of the ball where a lot of free agents get signed or get acquired. But the one thing sometimes that can happen is they just don't meet those expectations. And getting a guy in the draft like a Dalton Risner and getting the right tackle situation solved by signing Juwan James, those are, should we say, life-altering moves for that offensive line. And I know the Pro Football Focus rated them the top 12 offensive line in the National Football League. That is a big, that really is a big accomplishment because as we were talking to one of the listeners of the Lockdown Broncos podcast before, when you can have a offense or when you can have a unit, a whole unit like the offense in the top 15 of a particular category, it is going to be a very solid unit. It's going to be one where, say, the defense resurrects itself and becomes the renaissance of what it was in 2015, then it's going to be putting the offense in said situations where it can be successful, it can convert itself in the red zone, it can be a successful running team too, and it's going to produce a lot of timely situations. It's going to produce much better offense. It's going to produce everything that is going to make the offense better. It's going to put them in situations where they succeed, and that's why a head coach like Vic Fangio is so big, because it's going to result in a lot of contagious things that could seep through into other areas and other places like said offense, where it will be putting said offense in a position to succeed. So what can they do to be successful? Well, we mentioned the offensive line, getting a guy like a Dalton Risner, getting a guy like a Juwan James. Those are steps in the right direction for having a stellar offensive line unit. Certainly there are questions and everything else is from Connor McGovern to Garrett Bowles, and even maybe Ron O'Leary and his health over at right guard. But, you know, again, the fact is, the fact is just that there is still enough talent level there for that offensive line to succeed. And it wasn't all bad. It wasn't, it was not all sunshine and rainbows, but it was not all bad. And it was not pathetic to the point where you're looking at everything and you're just saying, boy, that is absolutely a really good unit. Because the one thing the Broncos offensive line does need to do is it needs to just continue to get better. And having an offensive line coach like Mike Munchak, it's going to produce that. And when you have a good offensive line, you're going to produce a steady diet of strong runs, and you're going to have a strong running game. You're going to have guys like Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman and potentially Devontae Booker as well run wild in a lot of games. And so I ultimately believe that if you have everything in particular like that fall into place, then everything in those two units will happen. And even factoring in what happened with Peyton Manning, you know, just his simple presence and his simple playoff and calming attitude at the quarterback position was still a valuable piece to why they won a Super Bowl. And one of the cool aspects about Joe Flacco is this nature that of something that he's always been known for, Mr. Joe Cool. If he can bring that calming attitude, that presence that can really make them cool and collected, calm and collected in every key situation, whether it is in the regular season, whether it's, you know, in the fourth quarter and they're on the 25-yard line and they need to drive 75 yards for a game-tying touchdown, or they need to drive for a game-winning field goal, or if they need to drive for a game-winning touchdown. It is that type of presence that can really seep into an entire unit where it's that potential nice blend of fire and ice and everything else. And so that is a big thing. And when the quarterback is all humming, then as the piece talks about here, the offensive playmakers can really do a lot of damage. Guys like Cortland Sutton can be that phenomenal deep ball threat, but also it means that he's also worked on a lot of factors in his game. And I think that that's in essence what is going to make them such a successful underdog on the offensive side of the ball, is that, you know, if everything can come into focus, if everything can basically be humming. Now, granted, again, it's like I said earlier, nothing's going to be sunshine and rainbows. But if everything can come together and be humming like a solid, cohesive unit, then that underdog story has a greater chance to be successful. Now, again, it all that has to fall into place then because of that is the media, the national media is, well, are they going to catch on or are they going to ignore it? Because if they continue to catch on and they continue to build up a narrative that maybe the Broncos are better than a lot of people think, then said underdog story does not become said underdog story. So therein lies your unfortunate caveat, your unfortunate problem with this underdog story. If everything is humming and if everything is so successful, there's a decent chance that the media or national media is gonna catch on at some point. And therein lies the issue of said underdog story becoming an underdog story. When we come back out of the break, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball, because we all know that during that particular Super Bowl run and during Super Bowl 50 and even more years after that the defense is the strongest unit on the Denver Broncos. So let's talk about that coming up next on the Locked On Broncos podcast, because we all know it starts and ends with the Denver Broncos defense. Let's get defensive, shall we? Welcome back to the Locked On Broncos podcast. I am your co-host for this particular episode, Cameron Parker. And again, if you guys feel free to go to the Locked On Broncos podcast on any of the media platforms that you guys can listen to this podcast, whether that's Google Play, it's iTunes, Stitcher, or maybe even the Himalaya app, you can go and listen to the Locked On Broncos podcast at basically anywhere. And that's the beauty of the Locked On Broncos podcast. You can carry that anywhere. And by the way, even with the iTunes podcast, if you are a new listener and you guys have yet to subscribe to the show, please do so. And when you write your review, and you guys happen to have a Twitter handle, please put your Twitter handle in the review, and then both Cody and I will follow you back. And that's the beauty, again, that Cody and I really like to push, because our interaction with the fans is such a great thing. And it's one of the things that I've prided myself on the last handful of years, is just interacting with Broncos fans and just NFL fans, you know, and just really having an enjoyable time with it. So let's get defensive. We all know that the Denver Broncos, are one of, if the most defensive, best defensive teams in the National Football League, and in particular, one of the most historic NFL defenses that we had ever seen in that Super Bowl 50 run. What makes this incredible is that all throughout that year, they weren't really tops as far as number one in every single category. But the fact is, and it goes to also the episode that Cody and I did, talking about them being left off the all-decade team and having the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals being put on that list. And if you guys have not yet checked out that episode, please do. It's over on our Locked On Broncos podcast. What made that so disappointing and what we had talked about was the execution. And what made the 2015 team so good and in general was that, sure, there were bounces that had gone their way. And maybe some of that was luck, but at the same time, all of that does not happen without execution. All of that does not happen if you are not executing a play or anything that has been relayed by the defensive coordinator. And the defensive coordinator at that time was Wade Phillips. Fast forward now to 2019, where you have maybe one of the best defensive coordinators in all of the NFL, Vic Fangio, who really softens the blow of the loss of Wade Phillips when he left after the 2016 season. Everything that is the best alternative for the Broncos is to put everybody in the best position to succeed. And one of the key things that was so successful in that 2015 year was the secondary. It was a absolutely ridiculous secondary. I mean, you had Aqib Talib, you had Chris Harris, you had Bradley Roby, all playing at the highest of levels. You had linebackers in Danny Trevathan and Brandon Marshall, who had finally gelled together. You know, thinking back to even the years prior to that, they all had been injured, and so they finally gelled together to the point where it was this giant and this giant offense where all the Pistons were firing. And then going to the secondary, the safety unit with guys like TJ Ward and David Bruton and, you know, or even Darian Stewart, guys that were key contributors for that team were proof that depth was a big part of that defense. And then even factoring in, of course, that pass rush. And this is one of, say, the said question marks coming into this year in 2019, is what is the depth after Von Miller and Bradley Chubb? Because we all know that Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are probably near the top as far as the best pass rushing duos in the National Football League. But what happens after that? And that's been my complaint with other position groups, like said, you know, just overall linebacker position, as far as inside linebacker position, with guys like Josie Jewell and Todd Davis, guys after them. But also the offensive line, you know, guys after the offensive line, who are some of these guys that are going to step up, because injuries are a part of a season. So who are some guys that are going to come and step up and be a key contributor for a potential successful underdog story? And I think with this elite pass rush, there's obviously a particular guy, Jeff Holland, who's coming into this year, in some ways compares favorably to Shaquille Barrett, who Shaquille Barrett went on to be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we all wish him the best of success with the Buccaneers. And Shane Ray went on to be with the Baltimore Ravens. Both of those guys were at the 2015 year, I mean, at that particular time, were key rotational defensive players of that pass rush. It was that particular pass rush was in some ways. So, I mean, if you think back to that particular year, they had, you know, DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, and then Shaquille Barrett and Shane Ray. What made that particular pass rush, that elite pass rush, so good was it was like a fast break offense in the NBA, is that every single time the Broncos would take out DeMarcus Ware or Von Miller, that particular pass rush would not miss a beat with a guy like a Shaquille Barrett and a Shane Ray. And it made Barrett a much better pass rusher because it was like an energizer bunny and a guy that is capable of performing at the highest of levels. So that's what made, maybe in some arguments in that particular year, Barrett a much better pass rusher than Shane Ray. And Shane Ray was more the bull of all of that. I mean, he was the guy that is going to bulldoze you and get to the quarterback with his bull rush. That was one of the key components in why the Broncos were so successful in their defense, was having that elite secondary and elite pass rush. Now, one of the things that does need to be said, and we said it earlier, is that linebacking core does need a gel. That linebacker core does need a gel. Because if it doesn't come in and if it doesn't gel, then there will be additions made in the offseason or subtractions happen in the offseason come training camp or even in the regular season. And there will also be additions happening in the regular season. Because if, say, Todd Davis it regresses a little bit and Josie Jewell is not advancing and he's not taking the said next step, then there will be some additions and some subtractions made. Maybe not those said players, but just there will be moves made to ensure that depth is not a question anymore. So the inside linebacker position is one that is a key focus going forward, in particular with the defense this year. If guys like a Josie Jewell or a Todd Davis can gel together, then it will say a lot about the sheer development and the sheer trust that Fangio will have in that linebacking core. If he can turn Todd Davis and Josie Jewell into the best players to have their respective careers, the Broncos defense in particular will be humming for, I would say, longer years than Brandon Marshall and Danny Trevathan were for a longer period of time. Because that was the one drawback of Brandon Marshall and Danny Trevathan. While that was a very strong inside linebacker unit, that was the very first time they had been humming together. So again, having a successful underdog story has its perks, it has its issues, and that issue being that if it's a successful underdog story, it means that the team is humming in a lot of areas and the national media is not catching on. That's why it can be a little bit of an issue as far as that underdog story, but that's the beauty of an underdog story, is taking all the doubt that is happening with the national media or other players as far as the smack talk and everything else, and shutting them up by performing at the highest of levels week in and week out in a regular season and in the playoffs to win you another Super Bowl. That's a successful underdog story. So I want to thank you guys again for tuning into the Lockdown Broncos podcast. This has been really fun. This has been really educational as far as talking and maybe making it also a little bit motivational too in everyday life as well. Talking about the first segment, how it translates to the Broncos and how it translates to the offensive and defensive side of the ball. One thing I forgot to mention as far as one of the key components as far as defense, and it's one that Cody and I talked rather regularly about, was the inability to cover tight ends. If they can show a strong fortitude to cover tight ends, then they will be a very good unit going forward, because then guys like Sua Cravens is having a renaissance. Kareem Jackson is proving to be that Swiss Army knife in the secondary as far as a safety corner. And Cravens being that guy that is a hybrid safety corner or even linebacker. And even then, just a lot of factors. A guy like Bryce Callahan is having a strong year. Isaac Yiadom's development is hitting its stride. All of this is just sure, say, hope, I guess. And that's the one thing that we all can certainly glean on, and in particular with this time of year, we all love to hope. We all love to hope because football is back and football is right around the corner, because training camp starts next week on the 18th. So I hope to see you guys there over at Broncos Country. I hope to see you guys there, Broncos Country. I'll be over at Dove Valley for training camp on July 19th. So if you guys feel free to come say hi to me and a bunch of other guys. From what I've heard is there will be some other people from predominantly Orange or just people from other media potentially there. So if you guys want to have an opportunity to meet up with us, please come say hi and everything else. So again, thank you guys very much for tuning into the Lockdown Broncos podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to iTunes, listen to it on Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. Thank you guys very much, and Cody and I will be back tomorrow.